Today on Snail Trail 4x4, Tyler does an uh-oh. Whoopsies.
Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Bestline Racing. Bestline Racing has a complete lineup of performance additives for your engine's needs. From our oil additives to our fuel treatments, we have you covered for your hobby, tow rig, race car, or your daily driver. Check the show notes for your Snail Trail 4x4 discount at bestlineracing.com.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course hearing about how balls are put on Toyotas, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. This is the second day of the marathon episode. This is what happens when Jimmy and I don't see each other for a while. So without further ado, I will quit talking and let me talk. And Jimmy talk. Maybe. We'll see. We'll continue on where we left off yesterday's episode. So just a reminder, we talked a little bit about the F-150. And now we get to talk a little bit about what the F-150 was used for. Bum, bum, bum. Anyways, have fun, enjoy, and here we go.
So what happened to you this last week?
I got to use your trailer straps that I got you for your birthday.
And why is that?
I kind of snapped my axle housing.
And how did you do that?
Going down a fucking dirt road. So
I only lied because it was the easiest way to get what I wanted.
No, really. How'd you do that?
Going down a stupid dirt road. Like there is nothing I should have been doing should snap a freaking housing.
Yeah, you straight up broke the housing in two parts.
Yes, it is completely clean shear, completely bright apart. The only thing holding the wheel on the rig was the tie rod and the drag link.
Yes.
That's what was holding the wheel to the vehicle.
So for those that haven't been following Tyler on Instagram, he sheared off a knuckleball.
A gusseted knuckleball.
Straight off the vehicle. Mm-hmm. When I came up on the rig, is the one tire was like at 30 degrees, you know, and you're looking at it, you're like, that doesn't look good.
No.
And when you look under the rig, you're like, yeah,
that definitely doesn't look good. I could see your axle shaft taking through there.
So definitely. It was, don't know how you did that. My guess is there was a crack and it cracked and cracked and cracked and it was just a dirty axle and we never really noticed it.
So
and
that's
you came down the fire road and you hit a dip just or right. A bump or a rock or just right, and that actually popped it apart.
So I took a close look at it because I was talking with somebody, I don't remember who, but they were like, hey, does the brake, the crack have rust? I was like, if the crack and the brake has rust, that tells you it's been cracked for a while,
sure.
And so I was like, I didn't actually check that. So I checked it once I got it to Sherpas.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a second. I got to Sherpas and the whole, like, the crack is like the whole neck down, right?
Right.
The brake is the whole neck down where it broke.
So for those that don't know, Toyota is one of the only people on the market that uses the Burfield style. There's a few kind of companies that have it, but Toyota's ball neck down smaller than the rest of the housing. Mm-hmm. And Toyota, from my knowledge, is the only company out there that for some reason necks down like half an inch, like for like maybe not even an inch.
Yeah.
And then goes larger for where the housing hits.
For the ball to stick the burr field
in. Yeah, to stick the burr field and the ball. And it has something, I think, to do with the turning scrub radius of the knuckle. Mm-hmm. But the housing is significantly smaller where the ball and the housing meet.
Yes. And so that neck down is always, that's like the weak point of a Toyota housing. So there's, you know, gussets have been out forever. And that's always been my concern of why I've always wanted to keep my front axle from the first gen to Kermit is because I have those knuckleball gussets.
Sure.
And I've got that axle fully gusseted. And even with the gussets, I still broke the ball off.
Right. Which is impressive. Like, I got one for that. Hold on. Time out. I got one for you right here. Nice job, Tyler.
Thank you, studio audience.
Super proud of you.
No, when I first saw it, like I hit it, and literally nothing I was doing should have broken that. And when I was looking at it later at Sherpa's, the top third of the brake was rusted.
Mm.
So it had been cracked for a while. I must have just hit it just right to finish it off.
Yeah.
On going down the fire road. But I had my father-in-law with me.
Right.
And it was the first time he'd ever been in the 4Runner. And we're going down some stupid dirt road, fire road. And I have the most dramatic break in the 4Runner I've ever had.
Right.
Off-roading.
So I'm going to blame him.
I will too. I think it's a good...
Because he rode with you. You should never let him ride with you again.
He's banned.
Yeah.
He's automatically banned from the 4Runner now.
Absolutely.
It's like Kobe. Every time I've been with Kobe, something happens.
Yeah.
So he's not allowed in there anymore.
No, I'm with that. I back that 100% as well.
So, snapped the ball off of the axle housing.
Yes.
And I was driving. And I was like, this just doesn't feel right. So I got out and I looked at it. And I just started laughing. I was like, that, just what you said. It's impressive.
It really is.
I was like, it's a really impressive sight to see that break the way it's broken. And it never really hit me just how fucked up the axle is now until like later on that night or something. But anyway, I was laughing when I first saw it. And I just looked at my father-in-law who's in the passenger seat and I was like, we're done.
Yeah,
we're done. We're staying here. We're going to,
which is really funny because, I got a text message. I was watching, so the assistant and I have made a pact that we're going to try and finish all 8 movies of a Harry Potter series between Christmas
Harry Potty
and
series.
The whiskey's catching up. Yeah. The Harry Potty.
That's the urinal shot glass.
There you go. The Harry Potter series between Christmas and New Year's. And that's when we get the assistant back.
Okay.
And so we're going to finish these. So I was in the middle of watching one of those. And then when we were done, I looked down and I had a message on my phone from an unknown number. Huh. And let me pause. I got this message from a 916 unknown number.
Okay.
Can you get on the 805? Tyler is broke down. And then I got a message from, which I'm guessing is your APRS setup. And it was, can you get on the 805 SOS from K6TLR-7? And so I got on the 805 and I responded to you. I think you kind of confirmed that you heard me, but so I was at the assistant's house. I carry a handheld in Charlotte.
Yeah.
And I got onto the handheld. And I tried to cue it up outside, like holding it up on one foot with one arm out sideways, you know.
Holding a TV antenna or hanger up there.
Cued it into a TV antenna or something. But yeah, I called in and you pretty much, I said, well, what's going on? And you, for the most part, you said, I think we're good right now. I'll call you when I get cell phone reception. And I said, okay, cool. And then you came through and you're like, I think you confirmed. I can't really understand you. Talk to you later, clear.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then so that was interesting. It was kind of fun to like be on the receiving end of an SOS signal, so that was cool.
It was really interesting because that's my main reason why I have APRS in the rig.
Sure.
And why I want APRS in the rig, because I can text message people with APRS.
Yeah.
And this was a great practice of that. I was able to text you and I chose there was two other repeaters I was thinking about, N6 ICW, you would have gotten great reception from where you were. I would have gotten okay reception. The El Dorado County Amateur Radio Club, the 825, that one gets pretty damn good reception where you were as well as where I was, but I didn't know if you knew where that was in your radio.
I don't think I have that one in my radio.
Oh, good. We need to put that one in there. It's a great one.
Okay.
So I chose the 805 specifically because I know the 805 has EchoLink.
Yes. Okay.
And I was like, I don't know if we ever set EchoLink up on your phone, and I don't know if 805 will really hit where you were, but I know it'll kind of hit if you had a radio with you. I was like, you're either at your house or the assistant's house.
Sure.
But I was like, either way, 805 has Echolink. I think he has Echolink on his phone. So,
I don't.
You don't. Okay.
And I signed up for Echolink, and I don't think I've received their email confirmation back yet.
Interesting. I'll have to text Chris then next time, and then he'll call you and then get through all that.
Yeah.
But no, the APRS texting worked great because you got my coordinates as well, right?
Yeah, I got your
my GPS coordinates.
Yeah, it throws it on a map and it shows me exactly where you are and movements that you were doing. It had you at like a little bow tie looking thing of like you trying to turn around or something. So I knew exactly where you were, but I, at that point in time, I had no idea what you were what the SOS was,
yeah,
or what needed to happen or what the situation was.
Yeah, the only downside to the APRS texting is that you're only limited to like 45-46 characters. So whatever message you're trying to send can be is only limited to 46 characters per send.
Sure.
And so it's like, how do I explain what I what it needs to happen here? What I did, what needs to happen, what the plan is. I was like, I just need to get him on a repeater.
And then,
but it worked out.
It worked eventually. For the most of the, once I was done watching a movie. It was like, I think I saw in the phone, it was like 36 minutes later or something like that.
Whatever. It worked. So that was really cool to see it work like that.
And so how did you, because when I contacted you, you were in a situation where you were already, air quotes, saved.
Correct.
So what happened from breaking your shearing your axle housing to how did you get saved and then call me on the cell phone?
So I, good question. I sent that message to you. And then I also sent a message to the secretary saying, SOS, we broke, bring the F-150 to these cords, these coordinates. And so, apparently, I put in the wrong protocol because in order to send your coordinates to somebody, you have to have a very specific protocol, which is slightly different from just texting somebody a message, which I got the protocol right sending to you, but I got the protocol wrong sending to the secretary.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So all she got was this text message from an unknown number that said from K6TLR7, SOS, rig broke, bring F-150 these coordinates, but then no coordinates.
Oh, that's funny because I got the coordinates and the SOS and everything, but it is an unknown number.
It is.
But it doesn't change because I continue every time that you send me something from
the APRS.
Thank you, the APRS. It's the same number that comes through.
It is. So it's one server that trolls the APRS database is looking for a specific protocol, specific code, and it uses one phone number, and then it sends that phone number over again. So once you have that phone number in your phone, you receive a message, you can save that in your phone
as APRS.
I just save it as the SMS gateway.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, or because APRS text.
Because if anybody sends a message through APRS, it should come from that number.
Correct.
Right. So it's not your number from APRS. And then if I send a message to the assistant, it's not a different number. It's the same number.
It's the same number. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's a really cool system that ham radio allows for. And I got to actually use it in practice rather than just theorizing it. I actually have a quote unquote rescue emergency situation happen where I didn't have cell service and I was able to use APRS and you got my coordinates. The person that was actually doing the rescuing didn't get the coordinates, but my father-in-law ended up walking half a mile up the hill, pretty much to where we parked the F-150 originally with the trailer.
Okay.
And then we walked down to the 4Runner. He went up to there and was able to call the secretary, who I think was already in the truck moving at that point. They just didn't know where they were going. So the secretary was very excited about getting to come and rescue me. So we actually have her here on the podcast. Hello, secretary.
Hi.
How are you today?
I think I get a new title because I saved your ass.
the rescue Terry?
I like the
rescue Terry. That almost sounds like a pescatarian. But anyways, so what happened? What was your reaction? How did all that play out? This is hearing all of a sudden, because I know you got some texts from your dad, the father-in-law, and you got a weird message from me that had no coordinates, but said you needed to bring the F-150 somewhere.
Yeah, unhelpful.
Unhelpful. So what happened? How did everything play out there?
I think somebody sent me the trail that you were on. It was probably my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he just said we're at the end of Hallelujah Drive.
Yeah. I brought along assistance. Yeah. Brought a navigator.
A navigator?
Yeah, she whipped out a, you know, circa 2000 map book.
Was it 2000? I thought it would have been like 1980.
I mean, I know that they got it from the realtor when they bought their house. So gotcha. That was like 2005. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she pulled out a map book because, you know, you didn't send me any coordinates.
Yeah.
It did pull up on my phone, but I hadn't been down there, so she was more familiar with the area, so I was like, you can just tell me where to go. I put her in the F-150, popped in, got the Christmas music going from the moderately decent Christmas playlist. We rolled on down to the dirt road and rolled up to you guys looking pretty sorry.
Yeah, we were pretty sorry. How was the dirt road? Because so let's explain this really quick. The in-laws, your parents, live in an area that there's only one road in and out of that neighborhood, pretty much.
Right.
And so if there's ever a fire, because they live kind of up in fire territory in California here.
Yeah.
If there's ever a fire, there is an extra kind of emergency fire route that is a dirt road. It's pretty bumpy. It has some potholes. It has some rocks here and there.
Yeah, it's a little rough, but...
And we had always been told from people, the other people in the neighborhood, the community there, that you should never take a streetcar down that road. A streetcar will not make it. And so the father-in-law and I went down in the 4Runner to see just how rough the road was, to see if you guys can, if the in-laws could make it out in an emergency.
Right.
And that's when we just kind of broke everything on a dirt road. What was the navigator's opinion and perspective of going off road in the F-150 down this rocky, bumpy road, dirt road?
She didn't appreciate it.
She didn't appreciate it? That's too bad.
Probably aren't going to see her going in the 4Runner.
So we won't be able to get her out on the Rubicon anytime soon?
She enjoyed rescuing you, though, because you're her favorite.
I'm perfect. Oh, man. So do you feel very accomplished?
Yeah, I rescued you. I have great purpose now. I saved the podcast world.
It is true. We all of our you Snail Trail can go on to continue to be the number one podcast in Bulgaria.
Without me, you might still be sitting down there on the side of the road with some old geezers yelling at you to get off their property.
That is true. I had a love note on the 4Runner the next morning, and somebody called me saying the old guy at the end of the road wanted the 4Runner moved and thought that I was encroaching and being annoying and coming down to use his property to camp on. And I was like, no, did you see the tire at a 30 degree angle there? Anyways.
So anyways, moral of the story is I saved the day. I'm the winner.
Good job. So does that mean you don't even need to go to the safety clinic now because you're such a pro rescuer?
It's really good. Yeah.
She's so proud of herself.
What I want to know is how did you like driving the Ford?
Oh, it was good. I learned how to put it in four-wheel drive because I didn't know how until then. It was pretty comfy. I thought the ride was okay, even though mom next to me is like, I thought the ride was freaking just out fine. A little. Yeah, I wasn't worried about the road at all because I'd seen you go down much, much worse. And I actually think I've been on similar roads in the Subaru, so I wasn't too worried about it.
Yeah.
But it was a good ride. It's fun. I saved the day. You guys can all remember that.
Are you getting a Superman suit or Superwoman suit soon?
Hopefully I'm getting my Snail Trail 4x4 in hot pink soon.
Yeah, we got to work on those. Yeah.
And then on the back, you can put saves the day or something.
Saves the day. Yeah. Nice.
All right. Going to turn it back over to your co-host.
Alrighty. I don't like him. I like you better.
I'm cuter.
You are a lot cuter than he is.
It's true.
It's true. Oh, man. So, yeah.
We could make a keep saving.
Oh, there you go. Keep crawling and saving.
She likes it from the background.
Yeah.
No, so anyways, yeah.
That was snapping the fucking ball off of my axle housing. And I'm pretty sure the shaft looks just fine. The burr field looks just fine. Everything good. Else, the bearings all look fine. The spindle looks fine. It just snapped the ball off the axle housing. Yeah.
So I was on the phone with you
mm-hmm.
talking about what needs to happen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And for the most part, we concluded that the 4Runner was going to be safe in this location. Mm-hmm. Very remote location. People aren't going down there.
Yep.
You even talked to people that were going to a house that was down in that area.
A
house party in the area. And you went down and checked on it like damn near midnight.
Uh-huh.
And so we talked about, okay, what do we need to bring? So I brought Clifford in the trailer mm-hmm. up. I brought a whole spare axle up. I brought two different sets of jack stands, all my tools. What is there? There's probably more. I can't even recall at the moment.
I was going to say a tie rod was
on the axle. We brought the Pro Eagle jack.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought a whole bunch of stuff, and we pretty much kind of determined that the axle wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Because you have Himes that have a bigger bolt diameter than what ball joints work.
Yep.
And so the steering setup was completely shot, and you can't just take the steering off because then you have six shooters and trunnion bearings, and these aren't
trunnion bearing eliminators.
Yeah. Trunnion bearing eliminators. And these ones have the trunnion bearings in them. And so like we kind of just scrapped that idea.
We did. Yeah.
Also, it was down. It had rained. It downpoured the night before.
It was very quite muddy,
and mm-hmm. And it was raining when we were talking.
Yeah,
and Clifford's two wheel drive.
Yeah,
and so the big concern was like, yeah, Clifford can make it down the hill. Mm-hmm. That's, yeah. It's got weight and gravity
works really well. Yeah,
but would it be able to pull the rig up the hill on a wet surface?
Yeah,
and to save Clifford's
dignity
is a great word for that. We decided to actually try the F-150 out.
Yeah.
And so we met at a pretty easy spot where we can swap around the trailer, and then loaded a bunch of stuff into the F-150, drove out to the 4Runner,
mm-hmm.
and we with the trailer,
mm-hmm.
which is a PJ trailer, which isn't a light trailer. It's maybe upwards of 3,000 pounds just for the trailer.
I think we're calculating on upwards of 3,000 yeah. just to be safe on the weight rating.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, but the truck with the empty trailer pulled it fine.
No problem. It didn't even care. There's a trailer back there.
Yeah. Even, Charlotte, the Tacoma pulls an empty trailer.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
And so, we went down there and, we stopped early.
Mm-hmm.
To figure out where we were going to turn around. We walked down to where the 4Runner was. I saw the brake, which was impressive.
Impressive is a good word for it.
Yeah. And we actually found a spot fairly really close to where the 4Runner was to be able to turn around quite easily.
Yeah.
So we walked back up to the Ford, jumped in it and drove it down, flipped it around, lined it up as best as we could. And then, We did the Dana 35 trick. That's a great way to put it. We used the tie rod from the axle that I brought.
Mm-hmm.
And we ratchet strapped it to your leaf springs
mm-hmm.
so that the tire really couldn't move a whole lot.
It couldn't come out any further. Correct.
Right. And it was made it difficult to do any turning.
Mm-hmm.
And so we reversed it straight, and then I loosened kind of one end,
mm-hmm.
and then the rear side, so that you could turn it driver
side. Mm-hmm.
And we only turned it a little bit, so you drove forward quite a ways, and then I ratchet strapped it tight again, and uh-huh. you reversed straight, and then I loosened it again, and then you turned it and lined yourself up
yeah.
quite easily onto the trailer.
Yeah.
So what was very impressive about this is that it's still, for the most part, worked.
Yeah.
Like the hubs were unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't in four-wheel drive. Mm. Nothing in the front was turning.
Yep.
But all the weight from that knuckle is sitting on that
the axle
drive.
Shaft.
Yeah, your axle shaft, mm-hmm. the inner axle shaft, the mm-hmm. long side inner axle shaft.
It's just that just means it's not a full float or semi float anymore. That's all that means. It's no biggie.
Yeah, but everything was spinning. Everything was working. There was a few times that it kind of seized, but it was more because of the tie rod or drag link catching on the lugs of your tire
rocks, <yeah. laughs>
than any other problem of it spinning.
Yeah,
and we got it up on the trailer totally, like really easy. Like as catastrophic as a break as this was. It was one of the easiest recoveries I've ever done.
Yeah. I was very impressed. I was like, from the time that we took off, so we transferred the trailer over to F-150, took off to go get the 4Runner, and then got back to Clifford. It was about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours.
Yeah. And that includes a lot of driving.
Yes, it does. It
includes, like, I don't know, probably a half an hour each way of driving.
Uh-huh.
So it was a half an hour recovery.
Yeah, pretty much.
More or less. And so one of the things we did when we pulled it up onto the trailer is the concern was, how do we lash this down?
Yeah,
because it's broken. We don't want things moving. We
don't want to pull it down to the trailer and put all the stress on the axle shaft, because that's what it's sitting on right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So we were like, how is this gonna work?
Yeah, so I brought two different types of floor jacks, jack stands, but we only took one of them with us.
Yeah.
And that kicked us in the ass, kind of hindsight. If we would have brought the semi shorter ones, then we might have been able to just put that on to strap the axle to the jack stand onto the trailer.
Yeah.
But what we ended up doing was we brought the jack stand, like lifts, or
they're like wooden platforms. Yeah.
And we ended up putting those underneath the differential. So that lifted the tire off the ground. So all the weight of the vehicle the front end was on the third member or
the
driver tire. And then we ratchet strapped the passenger tire to the leaf spring so it couldn't move or slide out. And then we strapped the vehicle down to the trailer.
Yep.
And
that ended up working out really, really well. Those wooden platforms left about a half an inch to an inch of space underneath the passenger tire that was broken and the trailer.
Yeah.
So it was just enough where, you know, if the tire is bouncing around at all, it was going to get limited by the trailer and wouldn't cause a lot of issues. But there's no stress on the axle shaft itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it worked out great and it held the weight fine.
Mm-hmm.
We did ratchet strap the wooden platforms to the axle so that if there was any movement up and down, it would stay together.
Yep.
For the most part, then we were recovered.
Yeah.
And and then it was a question of like, okay.
Let's see what the F-150 can do. Let's see what
the F-150 can do.
Yeah.
And it was like we were parked in a puddle.
Yes,
when we were loading this up. And so I was like, okay, let's see if we just start spinning out. You know, like, do we lose traction right here or not? What's going to happen? And we were in four low, and it literally took off the brake.
I idled out of the puddle just fine, no problem.
There was no issues.
Yeah.
And it worked well all the way back up, all the way out.
There was at one point where after we were on pavement, there was a couple of steep hills.
Yeah.
And the engine just started dying and bogging out.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, interesting. Uh-oh. Maybe this engine isn't quite up to towing. And then I realized that the tow haul function of the vehicle, of the transmission, everything got turned off at some point. And I think it was when we went from four high back to two wheel drive.
Maybe.
And so the tow haul got turned off and I turned it back on really quick. And all of a sudden it changed the shift points and locks up the torque converter and it went back on up the hill.
Accelerated up the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
And then there was a really steep downhill right before we got back to Clifford.
Yeah.
And this was like, okay, if you can handle this downhill, then you can handle this out to Sherpa.
Yeah.
And,
well, we haven't even talked about why we were going to take it to Sherpa.
No. we knew the downhill was coming, you know, and we knew the rest of the roads all the way out for the most part. But the question was, okay, let's, you know, it's a super steep downhill.
It's a steep hill.
You know, with a trailer, with a rig on the back, you know, it's like, okay.
25, 30 degrees, maybe? 20, 25?
Maybe. Yeah. It was steep. Do you think it's 30 degrees is what I hit coming out of the undisclosed location? Is it steeper than that?
It's about that at some points, yeah.
Maybe.
I think so.
Okay, so it's super steep.
It's steep.
So you dropped it into first. You locked it into first gear.
And there's a stop sign right at the bottom of that.
Exactly.
So you have to stop at the bottom.
Yeah, it's horrible. You locked it into first, mm-hmm. And just let it kind of...
it's an automatic transmission. You mm-hmm. can do that with mm-hmm. most autos.
And you just let it kind of coast its way down, and you applied some brakes on the way down and everything. And we had the trailer brake at max, mm-hmm. and everything was... it worked out great.
It worked great. I was able to stop the vehicle and the trailer and everything in the middle of the hill mm-hmm. and then continue on and let it accelerate a little bit and stop it again. And that was my main concern. I was like, from everything I've heard and read about the 3.5 liter twin turbo EcoBoost engine, is that it has the performance of a V8. So towing should not be an issue. I'm concerned about braking and stopping, which is always the issue with towing, right?
Yeah, I've said that.
The brakes work great.
Yeah.
Especially with that PJ trailer, because that's
the
electric brakes built in.
Yeah, there's four brakes on that trailer, a brake on every single one of the tires.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so really at that point it was, because the original plan was, well, let's see how the F-150 does. Mm-hmm. If it's not doing that great, we'll switch the trailer over and put it onto Clifford and I'll drive it out.
Yeah.
But it was doing fine. So we decided, well, okay, Tyler, keep going. I'll follow you for a while because it's on my way home. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when we got like halfway down the freeway.
Yeah.
And I was like, peace. Yeah.
So what happened, what was really kind of funny to me, and this is just Sherpa, right? So
I'm ready for this.
He calls me up after, because I posted that Instagram post that morning before we went out to recover Kermit that had the broken sheared off knuckleball.
Yeah, I didn't see it until that evening, but yeah.
So he texts me and he goes, hey, if you can get Kermit over to the compound where Sherpa lives, me and my buddy, his roommate Joe, will go and we will put a new knuckleball on your axle and have it ready for you to pick up Monday. So essentially one day turnaround. Sunday is all the day they had to work on it. And I'm like, ha, ha, A, bullshit. I don't think you can do that amount of time.
Right.
And B, you're a nice guy. I don't think you guys are that nice, though. Like, I'm like, I don't think so. Like, there's no... A, I don't think you guys can do it. Like, you're going to cut...
a lot of work.
They're like... He goes, yeah, we have like 5 or 6 Toyota front housings laying around the compound. We'll just take and cut one of the knuckleballs off and then strip your axle. And I was like... And then he goes, oh, we'll cut one off and then put it on your axle. And I'm like, hold on. So you're going to cut a knuckleball off of a Toyota housing, then you're going to strip my axle down, you're going to do clean up my axle, however you need to do to weld on a new ball, and then put it all back together within a one day of work? He goes, yeah. And I was like, exactly. That was my response. I'm like, no way. No way are you going to be able to do this. If you guys are seriously offering this right now, I will take you up on the offer. I will owe you big time and I will pay you in a lot of alcohol. but I don't think you can do it. And I'm just like, that's a lot of work. And he goes, done. And that's all I got. And I was like, what do you mean?
That's a Sherpa response, right? Too.
Right?
Yeah.
And then he texts me 15 minutes later, maybe, as I'm waiting for you to show up with Clifford at the school.
Okay.
He texts me. He goes, okay, Joe's on board. I'll be home from Placerville. He was in Placerville too at the time. He goes, I'll be home from Placerville later this evening. We're on board. Joe's going to start on pulling the Toyota housing that we have and cutting the knuckleball off and getting that all prepped and ready to go. Just let us know when you'll be at the compound and we'll be ready to expect you. And I'm like, what? And then he texts me like 30 minutes later hey, you better hurry and let us know when you're going to be down here because Joe's wife wants to use the knuckleball as a plant project.
Oh my gosh.
Which is Marlene, the plant lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyways, so I was just like, oh my God, that's funny.
So funny. Turn it into a pot? What would she do with the knuckleball?
Something, I guess. Put a geranium in it? I don't know.
So, it brings a new idea to some bonsai pots.
Right? So apparently, within 30 minutes, 30 to 40 minutes, Joe had already cut a ball off and prepped a ball off of another Toyota housing and gotten it ready. And she walked in the shop and was like, ooh, what is that? And he goes, that's hands off is what that is.
Come on, Marley. Yeah.
So anyways, funny story. And I was like, all right. I mean, I'll bring Kermit down. I'm really curious to say, to see if you guys can actually do this in this amount of time. And B, if you can.
So here we are. 6 o'clock Sunday night. You got any confirmation yet?
It's been about 26 hours since I dropped it off, and I've got pictures and everything at about 2:30 p.m. today. So we're 6 p.m. now. I got pictures at 2:30 p.m. of the new knuckleball on my housing already.
Holy cow.
And I'm like, what the hell? Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
What I'm that's really off. So yeah, huge kudos to them. I'm like, wow, okay, good job. When I went over and dropped off the Kermit.
Yeah,
with
so
Joe,
when I ditched you on the freeway,
yeah.
How did the rest of the trip go?
Beautifully.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, from there on, it was flat through Sacramento.
Yeah, flat all the way down.
We had already done all the hills and everything.
Yeah, so what I'm really impressed with is driving around with no trailer. That F-150 gets 14 to 15 miles a gallon.
Okay.
With a trailer, granted, I was coming down the hill. I got 12.8 to 13 miles a gallon.
That's awesome.
So I'm like, I'm coming down the hill, but like,
I got 19 in Clifford.
Yeah.
And I get 10 to 12 towing.
Towing in Clifford?
Uh-huh.
Jeez. So yeah, I was just like, I'm very, very impressed with the engine on the F-150 and all the creature comforts amenities of it so far and its capabilities.
Yeah. I was like, what's your trans temperature at? And you're like, hold on. And you like hit buttons on your steering wheel and it popped it up 197 degrees. I was like, damn,
is that good?
That's pretty good. Yeah. All right. Yeah. You know, and it was cool to be able, like, I don't have a trans temperature on Clifford. I mean, it's OB1.
Yeah, Obi-1
Kenobi.
Or yeah, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And so, you know, to be able to pull those things up pretty fast was really neat to see. And I mean, it did. It handled it fine. I think, I don't know, at some points you kind of were weaving when I was behind you, and I don't know if it was just you not completely paying attention.
Not paying attention.
Yeah. Or if I was concerned if the load was heavy one way or the other. Because we did only, we loaded it in the mud and, you know, onto a rig that we haven't towed with yet. Yeah. So I was concerned if it was heavy one side or the other.
It didn't feel like it. It felt very well contained. I know that the F-150, looking through the user manual while I was trying to find something else, it has a trailer sway control. Mm. So it will sense if the trailer is swaying.
Interesting.
And it will automatically apply the brakes and slow you down until the trailer stops swaying.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But that never kicked on. I never felt the trailer swaying at all. I was probably making phone calls and dealing with text messages while I was coming down 50 from Placerville all the way out past Davis.
Okay.
I had two of my moderators from NorCal 4x4 text me with a picture saying, oh, it's nice to see a Toyota on a trailer for once. They passed me on the highway.
Oh, no way.
Yes. And then I had two listeners text me as well, saying the same thing, essentially. Said, hey, I just saw the Toyota on a trailer with an F-150. What's going on?
That's hilarious.
Like, God damn it, people.
It's those freaking stickers on there.
Right. So
and because you claim that you'd never get it towed, right?
I know.
So
this was literally
like
the
Bobcat
first time
was on like, a trailer, they'd be like, "Oh, Jimmy's going somewhere."
Yeah, right.
Or coming back from, you know, Rubicon.
Yeah, I get to eat my words.
Well, no, but that's like there's a difference in this scenario between towing, becoming a trailer queen.
Yes.
Or hey, something broke and I need to get it home.
True. Yeah. But I just thought that was funny. Coming down 50, well, four people noticed me and called me out.
Sure. Well, and how many times did we, how many messages did you get when the high Sierra 4x4 Jeep was blasting up at like 75 miles
an
hour?
Two to three. When that one was blasting up the highway, 75 miles an hour on a trailer, people were like, dude, this is California. You need to, I saw the high Sierra Jeep going up the trailer. I was like, not mine anymore. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Not ours at all.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, that was, you know, it's funny how people notice it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, it was fun. I'm very impressed with the F-150. Like I said, the F-150 has a 15.5 to 16,000 pound curb weight rating. And we had it probably at 13.5.
Mm-hmm.
would be my guess. 14 on the upper end.
High rating. Yeah.
And it was beautiful. It was great. It did very, very well. So, I never really intended to tow with the F-150 when I got it. I'm intending to be a workhorse for more flight. But to know that I can tow if I need to is pretty nice.
Yeah. So, as a like last resort scenario. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, it worked out really well. I took the rig down to Sherpa's compound, and, when I got there, Joe already had the knuckleball. So he was showing me the knuckleball, and I completely did not understand how knuckleballs are attached to Toyota axles.
I apparently did not either.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I'll show you pictures that Sherpa sent me later, but, it's essentially what you have to do to get a knuckleball off of an axle is a knuckleball is attached and forged, stamped steel, whatever it is, into this whole fitting that gets pressed into the axle housing.
Okay.
So that is what mainly holds all the strength of the knuckleball and your knuckles and your wheels and your tires and everything. That pressed fitting is what holds all the strength. And all that's welded is just the seam between the press fitting and the axle. So that seam is welded to keep the knuckleball from falling out of the axle.
Hmm. Okay.
And so apparently with like everything else, Dana 60s, Dana 44s, Spider Tracks, Gearworks, everything else goes and slides over the exterior of the axle. Right. Toyota is the only one that presses into the axle for the knuckles.
Interesting.
The knuckle attachments.
Right. Okay.
And so all you do to pull a Toyota knuckleball off the housing is you cut that weld down a quarter of an inch, and then you have to heat up the housing so it expands.
Sure.
And then you put an axle shaft or something through the trunnion bearing holes.
And then you
just twist it back and forth until it comes out.
Breaks and comes off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
And so I was like, oh. See, I was thinking that it's all like forged or stamped or built,
I thought it was welded into the axle,
yeah, into the housing, right? Huh.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, you know, if you guys are going to weld on a new knuckleball, it's going to be a temporary fix. I'm thinking, I'm like, I haven't seen Sherpa's welds. I haven't seen Joe's welds, but I'm like, I don't know. I just don't trust welding on that much leverage and how well any weld is going to hold.
Joe's rocking 42 inch tires on his 8-inch ring and pinion stuff.
That is true, but he's on a very lightweight rig, but still he's rocking 42 inch TSLs.
Yeah.
And they're,
on
they're
his
like,
Toyota axles.
They're like 18 inch wide too. Have you noticed how big those
they're massive. They are massive.
You saw my IROX were balloons. And
so for those people out there going like, oh, you shouldn't run 39/5/40 tires on Toyota axles, 'cause that's what's broke your ball. It's not really what, there are thousands and thousands of people, hundreds of, you know, maybe not thousands of yeah, thousands, but there are many, many people out there that are rocking 40 inch tires on Toyota axles. Mm-hmm. And this was just really came down to, it just was a fluke.
I'm really, I don't know. I'm still scratching my head as yeah, to how the fuck.
Well, it was cracked at one point.
True.
And it continued to crack and continued to crack. And then you just hit, you were the straw that broke the camel's back, you yeah, know, coming down this little rocky ledge, you know, and that's what did it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, probably all the thousands of miles of wheeling that the first gen had, uh-huh, plus moving it to the second gen, then throwing 40s doesn't help.
Yeah.
But it was already.
I do know I hit the front end really hard a couple of times in Baja too. Like really hard.
Yeah. So I'm sure Baja racing in that rig isn't the best either.
Yeah, probably not. I need bump stops. But anyways, once Joe showed me how a Toyota knuckleball works and is pressed into a housing, I was like, oh shit. So literally doing this is an OEM fix. It's going to bring back to OEM standards on a Toyota knuckleball. And I was like, this is going to be a great fix that'll get me, because I was thinking it's going to be a temporary fix. I can do very, very light snow wheeling and driving around town, getting my groceries and my Starbucks again with it. But I'm not going to be able to, I'm not going to take out.
Oh, come on. We don't go to Starbucks.
Dutch Bros.
Yes.
I'm getting a Dutch Bros right across the street almost. But anyways, I'm not going to take it to Rubicon or Fordyce anymore with a welded ball on there. But now that I realize how it's put into the housing, how it's assembled, I'm like, it's an OE fix. I mean, it should be just as good as before. I should get another minimum 5 years out of it. But at the same time, I'm like, is it time to upgrade? So that's the next big question. And I think I've talked a lot about it. I wanted to do FJ80 axles, do a 9.5-inch full float in the rear, do an FJ80 front with a 4-inch wider width on them so that I can get a 67-inch WMS and use my 8-inch high pinion. I would need to get an E-locker for it. Instead of the ARB, because I want to do E-lockers instead of air. And I'm sitting here thinking, those still have a ball on it. They still have a weak point and a neck down on the axle.
Yep, they do.
No matter what you do.
And the FJ80 has a bigger ball, doesn't it?
It has a bigger ball.
Bigger balls.
It's a hell of a lot stronger. The FJ80 has bigger balls, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here on the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast.
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
So I kind of talked about it on, I think it was either Instagram or Facebook. I don't remember which one it came up on. I think it was Facebook. And a listener, as begrudgingly as I want to say he is right, because he kind of has a personality very similar to Hussman, but Hussman has a lot more fun with arguing about physics, right?
Okay, yeah.
This guy is just like, no, this is the way it is. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to have a debate with you. Shut up and stop talking.
Okay.
And I love the guy, and begrudgingly, he is almost always right, just like Hussman.
Okay. And do I know this guy?
I don't know if you've ever met him. His name is Chris. Oh. Okay. He's from the Gold Hills Posse.
I thought you were going to talk about John.
About John? No. John, he also has a way of doing it so that it kind of makes you laugh or something like that. This guy, he just kind of says something. He says it in a way that's like, he doesn't care if you laugh, you think it's funny, or if he's hurting your feelings or anything. He's just like, this is the way it is. Shut up.
I hate those
people. This is physics. You know, you can't argue physics. Shut up. Stop arguing.
Yeah.
And so he kind of did one of these things where he goes, I was like, well, I guess it's time to upgrade my axles. And he goes, ha ha ha, you still thinking about FJ80 axles? And I was like, yeah, it should be a hell of a lot stronger. And he goes, I said, FJ80 is, you know, essentially Toyota's equivalent to a Dana 60. And he goes, ha 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 ha, no way in hell is that equivalent to a Dana 60. He goes, the GAWR, gross average weight rating of an FJ80 axle is 3,000 pounds. A Dana 60 starts at 5,500 pounds? ? He goes, you are out of your mind if you think that an FJ80 is anywhere equivalent to a Dana 60. And I was like, I don't think they're that far off. Okay. But I was like, I'm not going to argue with him because I know he doesn't argue. Like, you can't argue with the guy. So I'm like, okay. So I went and looked it up. He's fucking right.
Really?
100% right.
They're that far off.
Yeah. FJ80 axle, front axle is 3,000 to 3,300 pounds gross average weight rating. The rear axle is about 4,000 pounds, 3,900 to 4,000.
Okay.
That's the 9.5-inch full float.
Right.
Dana 60s are almost double that.
For the front axle.
For the front axle. So I'm like, fuck, he's right.
Okay.
God damn it, Chris. So anyways, after looking at that, and I start thinking about it, and after thinking about our last episode where we talked about what mistakes are we making off-roading, and the one mistake I make every single trip is what, Jimmy?
Overloading your rig.
Overweighting my rig, because I want to take everything with me, because I like to be a little prepper that way, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but I don't want a trailer. I like driving the 4Runner. I like driving to and from trails. So I really need to overbuild the rig. I need to just bite the bullet. I've been trying to make it work, trying to say this can work, we can do this. And I think if I was trailering the rig, I would have no problem going FJ80s or even Toyota axle again permanently if I turn it into a trailer queen. But I'm like, I want to drive home.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to, and so I don't have to deal with the logistics of a trailer and everything that comes with
driving home on a road. Really, the stressful point of the vehicle, or is driving down a trailer or trail with, you know, a lot of weight bouncing around and, you know, coming off little ledges harder?
Oh, that's totally the stressful part.
Right.
100%. But it's like, how do you solve the anxiety of bouncing around in an overloaded rig down a trail?
Mm-hmm.
You either bring your security of having a trailer so you can get back home, or you completely build the rig so it's not breakable anymore.
Right.
So I'm like, these are the two options I'm faced with now. Now that I've, even with a gusseted ball.
Well, you just got a Ford.
I did just get a Ford, and it can tow great, apparently.
Now you need to buy a $3,000 trailer.
I do need to buy a $3,000.
So that's cheaper.
It's cheaper than two axles, I'll tell you that. And so I just, I don't have anywhere to put the trailer, but I do know some people with some some property. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I enjoy driving the 4Runner, though.
I understand.
Yeah.
I enjoy driving Bobby.
So yeah, I don't know. And so I'm like, okay, so these are my two things. I either need to bite the bullet and just become a trailer person, which I don't want to do. I don't like the logistics of it. I like being able to drive all the way through a trail.
Oh, absolutely.
I hate...
Well, I think there's different times and different situations of what you're going to have.
There's totally, absolutely.
You know, and like Bobcat right now is in the limbo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where... Oh, are we going to go all the way through the Rubicon? Okay, I'll drive it to the Rubicon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, are we only going to do like drive to Rubicon Springs and then we're coming all the way back? Mm-hmm. Well, I'll take my trailer.
Yeah.
You know, and it can do both.
Yeah.
And I think the opportunity is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Going full width Dana 60s doesn't limit you if you're going to take a trailer or not.
I guess that's true. It doesn't.
Now you can definitely drive to the trail or you can still get on a trailer.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, so it's their situation, but you're not like, I really wouldn't ever want to drive Bobcat to Baja.
That's definitely something. The only thing that I wish Kermit had
would it be able to
cruise control.
Yes.
Yes. Totally.
But would I want to? No, I would drive to freaking Ian and Brittany's house at Wheeling every weekend with my trailer.
Yeah.
And then I jump in Bobcat and I would go from there.
Yeah.
You know, and then my thought is, well, like if something happened in Baja, all I got to do is get it across the border.
Right.
And it's more of a safety net, right? That's the way that the trailer is.
It totally is a safety net.
And so, you know, for like Cody Addington, when he freaking drove his Toyota down to King of the Hammers, raced King
raced
of the Hammers.
Fucking King of the Hammers and drove it back. Home, yeah.
That's a legendary status. And I think 100%. That's something to be said, but it's also living more on the edge.
It's being very risky. And so it's like, how do you eliminate risk? Like we're in COVID life right now, right? Sure. Like everybody's about how do you lower your risk? So, I think it's coming down to, I'm going to commit and I have a 14 bolt that's owed to me.
Okay.
And so I think I'm going to go with a 14 bolt in the rear and then I'm going to look around for a passenger drop Dana 60 in the front.
Okay.
Which they're a lot harder to find because those are Chevys. And Chevy,
nobody buys Chevys.
Nobody buys Chevys. And B, all Chevys nowadays are all IFS.
I think if you're 2,500 and up, they're solid axle.
Oh, that's good to know.
Or it's 3,500 and up. One of the others. But anyways.
Well, so
we've got a good friend that can probably help you out.
I've already talked to him.
Good for you.
And he's all right. I'll keep on lookout for it.
Thanks, Drift Punk.
Thank you, buddy. I know is it Drift Punk? I don't even know what his Instagram handle is. Thanks, Matt. There you go.
Patreon.
Yeah. So I'm looking at that option right now. The other option is Ford Dana 60s are abundant, right? They're all over the place. Super Duty axles. So I can get one of those.
You're going to go with a lefty?
I would chop up the axle and turn it into a passenger drop.
Oh.
That would be the other option.
Okay.
Which I think would be super fun. I think that would be a ton of fun to do. I just don't think I have the time to do it. That's the problem.
Okay.
So I'm like, one of those two options, or I can get in contact with Dana Curry, Fusion 4x4 Rough Stuff, and be like, hey guys, who wants to see Kermit out at some shows soon?
Yeah.
Who wants to
give me an axle?
Who wants to give me an axle? Which if I had my druthers, I love that Curry Rock Jock 60.
Oh, sure.
I love that axle. I love the way it's tilted upwards and it has a full skid plate underneath it to get over rocks. I absolutely love that axle.
Yeah. And they're super cheap.
Yeah. Beautifully cheap. I'll just sell a kidney and my left nut here to go with it to get it.
Right.
So that's the one of the problems, though, is that I just spent all my money. I paid cash for the F-150. So I'm kind of like, that was my Christmas present to myself, because I was like, I think the 4Runner's done. I don't, there's nothing else I can foresee I need to do with it.
Yeah.
So I just bought the F-150 with cash all outright. And now I need new axles on the 4Runner. And I'm like, damn, I don't have any money now.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's my dilemma. I'm committing to going tons, 14 Bolt and a Dana 60. I'm committing to do that. I'm going to do it. It's just a matter of the time it takes to do it, how much work I'm going to have to do it, or if we can get somebody to sponsor the rig, then I can go that route as well. But it's all kind of up in the air right now. I'm going to do a 14 bolt in the rear and do a shave kit on it.
Cool.
And I'll do the, essentially to bring it down to a Dana 44 size. So you're going to shave the bottom side of the diff and the ring gear.
Yeah.
In order to do that. And then I'll do a Dana 60 on the front, and that's kind of where I have a ton of different options available for me.
Yeah. It's crazy that that whole shave kit is, it's amazing how much ground clearance you gain.
Yeah.
When you do it.
Mm-hmm. It is. I'm really interested to see how it goes. So I'm doing the 14 bolt for sure. I'm going to try and pick up the 14 bolt this or next week.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have to build some...
I guess you don't need to borrow Clifford.
No, I don't need to borrow a truck anymore. That's nice. But I need to build some axle stands. I need to build a set of axle stands for the garage so that I can start building a set of axles.
The assistant's going to need to get you a sign.
The secretary?
No, the assistant.
The assistant.
Well, she got last Christmas, she got me a sign that said Jimmy's Axle Shop.
Oh. Yeah, there you go.
Now we're going to need a Toyota Tyler's axle shop.
Yeah. So that's where I'm heading with the 4Runner now. That's Kermit's plan. And after I get the axles built, my goal, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes here, my goal is to build the axles during snow season and wheel on the Toyota axles for the rest of the snow season. That way I can still enjoy snow season.
Sure.
I don't have to miss another snow season. And then when we come into spring rain closures, that's when my goal is hopefully I'll have the axles done and built. And then I'm going to pull Kermit out of commission and rip off the front end suspension, the leaf springs and hangers and brackets, and build a three link for the front.
Ooh.
Three link with the coilovers that are sitting in the snail trail shop.
Yes.
That I know I need to use before they get used on something else.
Yes.
And then I'm going to keep the rear end leaf sprung.
Okay.
Just because I think it's going to be too difficult to package a linked suspension in the rear and still keep it registered and smog legal with the gas tank, having to relocate the gas tank and everything.
Well, let me do some reconnaissance for you.
Okay.
Because I've going the B Reynolds route with the F-150 gas tank that fits between the frame rails and is a gallon or two more than the stock gas tank.
Mm-hmm.
I might be going that route with Samantha. If it sort of gets blown through the wind of the when I have to smog Samantha and it works out fine, then you might reconsider your... what you're going
to
do with
if I put the Kermit. F-150 there, then I have to relocate the batteries again, though.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, because now I've kind of committed that space to the batteries, the dual battery system.
Yeah, okay, never mind.
So,
but I'm highly considering going to that gas tank.
Yeah, I think that's a great modification for Toyotas to be able to run a 14 to 16 gallon F-150 gas tank that tucks right up there between the frame rails.
Mm-hmm.
In the space that never gets used for Toyota rock crawlers anyways.
Yeah. You pull your spare tire out.
Yeah, that's a beautiful.
You put a gas tank in that area.
That's a perfect modification. I think that's great. I just unfortunately...
yeah, filled it with batteries. Space.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, totally, totally get it.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, so you broke Kermit. You took it down. Supposedly it's going to be fixed by the time this episode airs.
I already have pictures of the new ball on.
Yeah.
They checked the caster, and the caster is all set up, good to go. So all I need to do is show up with gasket seals and help them put the passenger side knuckle back together with new gaskets and new axle seal, and it's good to go. supposedly.
Holy cow.
And I'm like, wow. All right. Okay.
You bought a Ford.
I bought an F-150. Yeah.
And you used it to tow.
I did use it to tow.
Great with a heavy trailer.
Beautiful with a heavy trailer.
Because mm-hmm. the PJ trailer is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
I have, I didn't give an update on this. I welded, so my steering, I think the last episode we had was mm-hmm. I broke my steering out snow wheeling. So I just took the clamp and instead of rebolting it together, because I was going to get one of the weld-on brackets.
Yeah. We looked all over the shop. We couldn't find it.
Couldn't find it. So I just welded the clamp to the tie rod.
Right.
And that's working out great so far.
Yeah. It's welded on.
I put a new ram on it.
Yes.
And then donated the old ram to Samantha.
Yep. So I got to rebuild that.
This just needs new seals in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I clearanced my oil pan a little bit.
Did you?
I think I clearanced it about the quarter of an inch, maybe 3/8.
A little ball peen hammer. And
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, a little ball peen hammer. So hopefully we'll see. It's hard to cycle leaf springs properly.
Yeah, sure.
So you can't really tell if the ram's going to hit the oil pan anymore. I installed the winch solenoid.
Okay.
So the winch solenoid works beautifully. I put it on a switch on the
You didn't use the console. Fuse that was left over at the snail trail shop?
I did not use the 25,000 volt fuse that Ron brought by. Oh my God. I did give that to my father-in-law for Christmas and he loves it. It's so funny.
That's awesome.
So we got that. When I wired up the rock light harness and rewired the rock light harness, apparently I've missed the front two rock lights that are in my front wheel wells. So I had to redo those and attach them into the rock lights. I got that all done. And then I had some time left over, so I armor-alled the interior of the 4Runner and anti-fogged and Rain-X'd the windshield.
Wow. Okay.
And
Oakley
then
doakley.
Yeah, and then I took it out and broke the front axle to smithereens on a absolutely. Fucking dirt road.
Dang. So,
those are pretty much all my updates. I also got voted into... I am now the vice president of the Mad Hatters.
Okay. Congratulations. So
I don't know when the hell I'm going to have time to do that now with everything.
Yeah.
But we'll see. It's pretty much just making sure that runs keep happening. So we aim for one club meeting and one run a month. And we do that pretty well. We do that. We get upwards of... 2 to 3 month runs a month during the summer, but then, one run a month during the winter.
Sure.
So it averages out to about 2 runs a month during the year. And then the meetings.
2 runs a month.
Mm-hmm.
If you join the Mad Hatters, you can go on 2 runs a month.
Mm-hmm. 2 organized runs a month on average. So we guarantee we try to guarantee. 2020 was a little weird with COVID, but, we guarantee during a normal year, 1 run a month and a club meeting.
That's crazy.
So two,
okay, wow.
2 events per month, and we've been averaging 3 a month.
Wow. That's really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, without COVID, the year of 2020 was like backpacker or camping lover's dream.
Yeah. Outdoor lover's dream.
Mm-hmm. I went more car camping, backpacking, four wheeling this year than I think I've ever been in my life.
Yep.
But besides, like in 2019, I don't think I went on that many runs.
Yeah. Yeah. We do a lot. That's a very active club. It's really cool. We have sections of Fordyce and Rubicon as adopted trails.
Yep. You have Wentworth Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And then what part of Fordyce?
Windchill 5.
Oh, Windchill 5.
Yep.
Okay.
So the section from Meadow Lake down to Windchill 5 is our section. So we maintain that and make sure it's all good to go.
Cool.
Yeah,
I know the Slow mm-hmm. County Crawlers, they do one trip a month.
Okay.
I thought that was ambitious.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's a really cool community. There's some great leaders in the Mad Hatters. John and Renee have done a shit ton of stuff for off-roading in general, but to lead the Mad Hatters as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell they're just getting burned out.
Sure.
They've been doing it. They've been president of the Mad Hatters for 6-7 years. They do a phenomenal job at getting people excited for off-roading and kind of being that safety net, because John is a master welder. And if there are any breaks on the trail,
he steps up
mm-hmm. for sure. And so, John is totally 100% one of my inspirations for off-roading. And, if I'm out on the trail, that's the kind of person I want to be on the trail.
Sure.
I want to be able to help people and help people have fun and enjoy the trip without having to worry about what's going to happen if they do break, because we're all going to break. It's a matter of time. It's going to happen. It's how you handle that situation and the people you have around you.
Right.
When that happens. And so, you know, I can just tell they are chairing Sierra Trek for 2020, which got canceled, mm-hmm. and 2021. So I know that they have a lot on their plate and nobody was stepping up to VP. And I was like, you know what? It's time. And so I'm pretty much doing a lot of the kind of helping plan the runs and make sure that runs happen already. So I was like, oh, well, whatever. We'll just add a title to it. Who cares?
Sure.
We'll see what happens here. So I think it'll be fun. It's going to be a fun year. I think my term lasts for 2 years.
Wow.
I need to check the bylaws on that.
yeah, you should.
Yeah. So that happened also like within the past 4 days, I think 4 or 5 days since last Tuesday. So 5 days that happened. So that'll be really fun. We're going to look at, I think, planning a joint. We're going to plan a joint. So
cool.
No, we're going to plan a joint venture with, I think, Esprit de Four this year. I haven't told anybody that yet, but I think we're going to plan one because Esprit de Four found this really awesome place to do camping at. And this guy, he just has this massive amount of property and wants people to come and enjoy the outdoors on his property.
That's cool.
And it's up in the Highway 4 corridor with Corral Hollow, Slick Rock, Deer Valley, Slick Rock.
You said that one twice.
Corral Hollow, Slick Rock, Deer Valley, Sourgrass. Sorry. Sourgrass. And Barney Riley's up in that area too. And this guy just apparently Esprit de Four did the Oktoberfest run there. And the guy brought in, I don't think he had a live band, but he liked the group so much that he wants them to come back again. And he's going to bring in a live band for it all.
Wow.
So we're thinking about teaming up with Esprit de Four for that trip.
That sounds awesome.
Some fun. So
that reminds me of a bachelor party I went on.
Nice.
Where the bachelor party was so much fun that some guy that was on the bachelor party invited us on to another bachelor party for some dude that we didn't even know.
You're just really fun guys, man.
Yeah, you guys are so much fun. You need to come on to this bachelor party.
You got bachelor parties trying to steal you.
We totally went on it. Nice. And it was a lot of fun.
That's great.
So if you need a good time, make sure you call Snail Trail 4x4 for your bachelor parties.
Yeah, so I think 2021's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be a crazy year. It's minus everything that's going on in the world. We have a lot of stuff going on.
We have a lot of stuff that we've been putting off as well that we wanted to do in 2020. We haven't been able to do. Now that vaccines are rolling out, I think we're going to get to do a lot of the stuff in 2021 that we wanted to do in 2020, plus the things we've been doing that we've had to adjust for in 2020, like the treasure hunt and the changes to Patreon, some other fun things. So, that's all of my updates, other than there's also a seat open for the Rubicon Trail Foundation Board of Directors, but I'll leave that for another day.
Oh, geez. So here we are 2 hours in. You want to hear what I've been up to?
Absolutely. What have you been doing?
I think I'll just...
Other than bringing trailers to me and letting me use the trailer straps.
I'll just say that I installed a 5100 Bilstein lift kit on a 4Runner.
Not a Tacoma?
Nope, a 4Runner.
Oh, okay.
We did... Oh, wait, what was it? No, it was a Tacoma. I apologize.
I thought you were right. Doing the second gen taco.
Yeah, we did the second gen taco.
Is that out? Is the article out on that yet?
Can people check
that
out? It's not out yet. Okay. The video is not out yet. It won't be by this time, but it should be fairly soon. The article on Trail Tacoma might be out. It might be released.
Okay.
Yeah, it was definitely a Tacoma. I'm lost on all the rigs I work on. And I also installed a retrack bed cover on a third gen Tacoma.
A retrack bed cover. Is it? It's retractable, I assume.
Yeah, it's sort of like one of those roll up doors that rolls up really tight. Uh-huh. They build a whole little a self contained box that you can roll the door up into,
okay,
and roll it out.
Yeah.
And it will hold upwards of like 300 pounds on the door itself. And the one I installed was the aluminum rails and it has built-in tracks. So then you can put a like rack on top of it.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, so that thing was super cool. Mm-hmm. So both of those videos will be coming out within a few weeks. And and then that was some of the things that I did over the last few weeks.
What else did you do? How did the suspension, the 5100, go?
It went really well. Uh-huh. We got it from Yoda Mafia, and I was working with Brennan from Trail 4R, who works with Trail Tacoma, and we actually had to call Breelin from Yoda Mafia.
Okay.
And we called him directly. Uh-huh. So that was kind of cool to be like,
I'm on speed dial basis.
Exactly. You know, and we're like, wait, hey, you set this up this way. Is this the way it's supposed to be? And it was. And we were second guessing the way that he set it up. And for the most part, it was that when you use stock factory springs, you want to set the shock up at the highest point. But when you're using the old man Emu springs that he was using, you set it up at the lowest height.
Interesting.
And you get 2 inches of lift. So if you use the stock springs and you compress the springs, you get 2 inches of lift. But if you're using the old man Emu springs and you set it up in the low one, you're getting 2 inches of lift.
Okay.
And so the benefit of going to the newer springs or the different springs is that you're not losing down travel.
There you go. Yeah.
So, we had to confirm that with him, like, hey, wait, is this set up right? Like,
yeah,
did we do this? And it was really cool to like phone a friend and, you know, like we've been saying, and get the answer immediately and be like, okay, cool, all right, let's continue on and make this video.
Look at you on phone call basis with Breelin and Hardco Plumbing Hardland Co. Plumbing and
Grind Hard Plumbing.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Are you going for here?
And Wheel Every Weekend.
Hardline Land Co. That's Valley Tacos. The Southern California Tacoma group.
Okay.
That does pretty crazy wheeling in their Tacomas.
Not Hella Trails?
No, Hella Trails
is NorCal.
NorCal.
Because that's a Hella thing.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Gotcha. Exactly. Okay.
Exactly. So, gotcha. Yeah. And then been dealing with a lot of snail trail stuff or snail armor stuff and trying to get that ready for when I get my product in, I need to get it out. And what all do I need to do? Because I'm somewhere around 30 orders back ordered now, which is small for you, but
I'm at 130 right now.
Yeah, but as a starting business owner where I'm only ever getting a few orders a week, you know, that's a lot. So
it is a lot, yeah. I remember when I was back in, you know, just 6 months, a year into it, and you'd hit supply issues, and you're like, fuck, I got 20 to 30 back orders. Like, I feel so bad. I need to get these out. Now I'm like, God damn, I have 130 back orders. I feel terrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sucks. We're working. It's coming out. They're coming out. Snail Trail and Snail Armor and Morphlate are both coming out. Mm-hmm. So when are you looking at getting that final, all the powder coating done and shipping again?
Fingers crossed it will be the first full week in January.
Nice. That's, I think, I was aiming for December 30th, December 31st on Morphlate, and I think it might end up looking more like January 1st or 2nd.
Yeah.
So I know that there's a few people waiting on more flights, and we'll get those out to you guys. Sorry, love you.
Yeah, well, when you run a podcast, a YouTube channel, a freaking website, a Instagram, a business, another Instagram, another website, you know, run all the shipping, and you know, I don't know how many other things we can do.
Yeah.
And every single hat within all the businesses, it's, you know, sometimes things get dropped and sometimes things are out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying our best to be there for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things that I've found, and you've told me, and I, you know, it's kind of nice to have you as like a, you know, 1 year advanced or 2 year advanced mentor of where I am.
Mistakes.
Well, or just to bounce ideas off of you is like, you know, it's like, as long as I am being proactive on my emails out to people that have been backordered for like 6 weeks, and saying like, hey, I'm still here. You know, if, you know, the orders should be coming in within a matter of weeks and they've got to go to Laser Etchers next. And then they're going to be released and sent out to you immediately. And I apologize for as long as this has taken, but, you know, you can get a full refund anytime you want it.
Yep.
You can absolutely have it. And I apologize it's taking this long, you know, and I get emails back like, hey man, it's cool.
That's what I've found. I really like about the off-road industry so far from being in it is that the customers are really cool people. They're super pretty low key. You have very few, I don't want to say type A personalities, but like, people who need stuff right now, like the really needy personalities. There's very, very few of those in the off-roading industry. And as long as you just stay in contact with people and stay communicating with people and show them that you are trying, you are putting the effort, you're not forgetting about them.
Or I'm not here to steal your money.
You're not here to steal your money. Yeah,
I'm not a P-free belt.
Ouch, shots fired. They're pretty understanding. It's it's a pretty cool industry to be a part of. I really like it.
And I really do think that like, you know, and I'm just reiterating everything you just said, but the fact that I'm in contact with the customer that it's given me money to provide them with a panel and I'm not providing them with the panel, but I'm still in contact with them and I'm not ghosting them. I'm not going away and I'm trying to get, like, I'm just telling you what's happening and trying to be legit or like actually honest with what's going on. They're very appreciative of that.
100%
You know, and that's the fact, and that I absolutely appreciate that as well. And it's like it hits me personally to make people have to wait. And maybe that's because I'm a very young business, but and it's like it's making people like having to put a 2 to 3 week back order date thing on my website.
It sucks
and it hurts, and I know I'm losing sales over this, and I know that it's not the best thing, but I would just rather have people have it.
About it, that's my big issue. And like, as you know, I mean, Snail Armor and Morphlight are both small brands in the big scheme of things, right?
Sure.
And they mean a lot to us. And it sucks anytime you have to put up a back order or you can't deliver the product on time. It sucks. It's a pride thing of being able to take care of the customers and keep people happy, because really that's what it's all about when it comes down to it, is the customer service and having that brand recognition and having a good brand that you've worked so hard to build.
Yeah.
It sucks. We don't like going on back order. I don't think any company does like going on back order, but I can tell you right now, any company who you can show patience to is super appreciative of it.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And I've lost sales. I've had, like, I've sent the email out, be like, hey, yeah, sorry, this is back ordered 2 to 3 weeks. I don't know where we're at. I'm willing to issue a full refund. You can go and, you know, here's your money if you need it, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I've had 2 to 3 sales be like, yeah, I didn't know it was going to be that long. I'm like, it's right here. Like,
there you go.
It's in red text right under the price. Like, I don't know how you missed it. You know, and it sucks. It's a blow to me and the business, you know, and it's like, cause I'm trying to provide the best service possible. Like I'm really trying and you know, just things that happen.
So speaking of all that and, and seeing the appreciation out of people. I thought we could end this podcast on a really cool note.
I like it.
So this, I got a note on Instagram from Charles Bond, Charlie Bond.
Is he related to James?
He might be.
Okay.
He never said if he's from the UK or not. And it's hard to tell if he has an English accent from Instagram DMs. But
all right.
He wrote a really cool note. And let me just read it here. So he said, I finally got up to date today on the podcast after listening for almost 2 years.
Yeah, which I got this. I got the same exact message.
You did? Okay, cool.
We haven't been on for 2 years.
That's true. Maybe, I mean, with High Sierra, we've been on for 2 years.
Maybe. Yeah.
So.
Okay. Go on. So that was the first thing. I was like, we haven't been on air for 2 years. So you've been listening for 2 years?
I think I'm impressed. Just about 2 years. If you include, I think we did 5 or 6 months with High Sierra.
Yeah.
So okay. Anyways, he goes, feels like an appropriate time to say thank you for all the time and effort you put into it. I really like losing myself in the episodes, whether you're talking about trips or what's been happening on your rigs. I can't do much off-roading myself at the moment, but the podcasts make me feel like I'm there with you, wheeling or wrenching. Thank you again for keeping the podcast going. Charlie from England. So he is related to James Bond.
Yeah.
So anyways, I thought that was a really cool note.
Cheers to you, cheers, Charlie.
Totally, Charlie. I thought that was just a really cool note. And that's just a reminder of why we keep doing this podcast, mm-hmm. why we do what we do. You know, we get ourselves into stupid shenanigans and stupid scenarios, like breaking your ball off of your axle. But if it can bring you guys entertainment and kind of help you through going wheeling when you can't go wheeling, that's what it's all about. It's really cool. I thought it was a really neat note. And to see you so appreciative of the content we're putting out, it makes us super appreciative of
100%
of you guys out there.
100%.
I thought I wanted to throw that out and give a huge shout out to Charlie there. And I've said it over and over again, and I'll continue saying it. The listeners are why we keep doing this. So thank you guys for continue listening. And
the listeners is why we hit this big red button.
True.
We would still do this stupid shit.
Yeah.
Almost regardless. But when we spend, here we are over 2 hours.
God, 2 hours, 20 minutes.
Two almost. Hours and 20 Fuck. Minutes on our clock.
Yeah.
We've been here for another at least 20 minutes before we started recording this. Uh-huh. Plus drive time for one of each or one of us.
Mm-hmm. Editing, you know, producing time.
Yep. Yeah. That is all of that is for you guys.
Yeah.
And it's because of you guys that we continue to do that.
Yeah. 100%. You
know, we would bullshit. We would still have fun. We would do all this. Like we've harped on this before.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we're coming up here to New Year's, you know, and we're going to go through our New Year's resolutions at another date. And, you know, but I can easily say that an easy New Year's resolution is to continue this for at least another year.
Yeah, I'm 100% for that. So
at least.
So cool. I thought we could end on that note. So mm-hmm. with that, if you guys want to get a hold of us and send us some feedback, you absolutely definitely can. As we just said, we love hearing from you guys. We love hearing the feedback. We love interacting with you guys. Please reach out on Instagram. You can find Jimmy over. He kind of runs the Snail Trail 4x4 Instagram. So DM there. You'll get Jimmy. Send a DM over to me at 4x4 Toyota Tyler, which might have to get changed now. Now that I'm thinking about it. We'll see. You can email us, Jimmy and Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com. That's independently of each other. That's not... Mail. That's such a great soundbite. So Jimmy at snailtrail4x4.com or Tyler snailtrail4x4.com. There's YouTube. Go check out the really cool stuff, the really cool videos that go up on YouTube. Follow the Samantha build. Follow the 5100 lift. You have the retract cover.
Yeah.
Retract cover.
Sure, that works.
There's a lot of stuff going on that we're doing, and we love doing it because of you guys. So definitely keep interacting with us. And I think that's about it. Question mark?
As you may have noticed, I always like to present a carefully reasoned argument.
That's me in a nutshell. So, Jimmy, do you have any final words for everyone out there?
Happy New Year.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
Good afternoon. You've reached the Toyota one-ton self hotline. Press 1 if you'd like to cry. Press 2 if you wish you had a Ford Snowfighter Dana 60 front end. Press 3 if you wish you had a Unimog axle. Press 4 for a 14 volt. Oh, I'm killing myself right now. Son of a bitch, man. What the fuck?